made everything a little bit bigger. Like, she's very bold and she's more outgoing, but in the end, it's me, but like on steroids, something like that. It is about the wine. It's just the package that I try to change it, but the shared passion that we're all talking about in the comments or in the stories is really about the wine.
This is One on One, a Table for Two production. I am Antoine Aboussamra.
I think I've inspired a lot of other people to also take everything a little more light and maybe add some humor in their way of approaching themselves and wine.
Every week, One on One dives into the world of food and wine through the eyes and experience of my guests. In each episode, we will discover their journey, what matters to them, the challenge they have faced, and how the world of food and wine is evolving.
I'm very intuitive and I just get inspirations and then I just have to make them happen.
Good afternoon. It's a great pleasure to be back for a new episode of the One on One podcast. And today I have the great honor, privilege, and pleasure to welcome India Donisi, better known or known as One Spice Girl on Instagram and on different social media. Good afternoon, India.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Your background looks tropical.
Uh-huh.
You're in Bali.
I am in Bali. Yes, I am in Bali. I just came from the beach.
Nice way to spend a Sunday and a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday.
Absolutely. And the whole winter.
Yeah. So you were telling me that you're escaping winter by going to a sunny place instead of staying in the Netherlands.
Yes, that is correct.
Don't you miss the wine?
That is true. That's the only thing that I really miss a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a pity that in Asia, that it's more difficult to get wines. But to be honest, everything is getting better by the years. I just visited a winery here in Bali, and it was really good. They have an Italian winemaker. They make very good wine. And then you have a lot of restaurants here where you can just have European wines. It's as if you're just in Europe, really. You just open the wine list. They have Barolo. They have even wines from the Etna. They have South African wines. Mm. You can find a lot here. So, of course, Bali is a privilege because it's very European-like. In Thailand, it's a bit different where I was the other winter, like last winter. It was more difficult there. But here, I'm not complaining. There is good wine.
Yeah. So how do you find the balance if the wine is not the central aspect of your life where you're spending your winters there? How do you spend your time?
Now you mean here in Bali or in general?
When you are in the Netherlands, we kind of get it.
Yeah.
But when you try to escape from it.
Yeah, I try to just balance it out by having some months per year where I can eat healthier, like not having to go to all these press events where you get so much wine, meat, all the luxuries, right? The jamon, the oysters. So here I try to just be more smoothie bowl, salads, yoga, much less wine. There is wine available, but I'm not drinking every day. I'm just drinking, smoothies, juices, water, lots of water, fresh coconut. So I really try to balance that out because otherwise in a whole year it can get so much to have to drink and eat every day in restaurants. So yeah, I try to balance it out so that when I go back in around March to Europe, all the press events will start again. I'll visit wineries again, so then for sure I'll be eating less healthy and having less time to do things like yoga, stuff like that. So yeah, you need balance.
When we look at the work you do, we probably people sometime kind of idolize the kind of life you have, going to all these nice places and drinking all this nice wine, etc.
Yeah.
But it seems that it's a bit more complicated than that, because what you see is, it's the output of your work. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, as you were saying, in terms of the balance, And I was going to say your mental health and how you are able to cope with, you know, the pressure and all this, to be able to do the outputs and the creation of content. How difficult is that part to manage? Because now you're in Bali, it's like, okay, taking a time off.
Yeah.
But when you are in the middle of your work during the year, how do you keep that balance? Or how do you try to keep that balance?
I think it comes naturally to me because I do a lot of things like meditation. So I meditate maybe on a daily basis, maybe a little bit less when I'm really like in some hectic moment where I'm visiting, I don't know, 5 wineries in 1 week, then it's not possible. But in general, I try to meditate almost every day. I journal, I write, I try to, you know, get the pressure out. And then it's just about always sort of remembering that it's work and it's just a temporary thing. So I don't try to get too upset or stressed about things. I just really, I go with the flow basically. So when I go somewhere for work, I won't, I'm not taking it too seriously, even though it is my work, but still you can get too, some people get too caught up in things. I just try to be, you know, sort of, well, we were talking about surfing before.
Yes.
I don't surf, but I try to surf. I try to surf through life. And you know, if there comes a wave, I just, I catch it. Right. And then I know that after the wave, there will be some downtime. So yeah, just with the flow, really.
You see, you're just a surfer. You get it completely. It's exactly like this. And so you were saying, so this is work. Now, one of the reasons you've done it is that you had something in mind. So I've seen that, you know, you were saying that, you know, the wine is kind of stuffy and it's kind of, you know, white male dominated kind of middle age and older ages, etc. And you wanted to bring something fresher. But between what you were planning, what you had in mind when you started Wine Spice Girl, and now it's been a few years. I remember when you started coming on the scene, it was a couple of years ago.
2020. So almost 3 years now. Time flies.
And you grew very quickly between the moment you started and you said, okay, this is what I want to do, and where you are today. How did you see that evolution? Did you expect where you were going to be today? And did you like the way it turned out?
Yeah, I do. I do like the way it turned out. I don't think I really expected it because it was just like, it was just for fun, actually. I just started for fun, and then everything took off quite quickly. That's true. It went very, very quick, and I really like the progress. It's been a really fun ride, and I like my work. I still believe in what I started. I still believe it's still necessary that we have to approach wine in a lighter way. So I think it couldn't have been any better. I think I'm happy.
What's the thing you're most proud of?
I never really think of it, but if I would have to answer now, I would say maybe that it's been sort of an inspirational thing that I started, even not knowing that it would be, but I think I've inspired a lot of other people to also take everything a little more light and maybe add some humor in their way of approaching themselves and wine. So I think that's something to be proud of, that it's been a little bit of a revolution that I started. And I think I see people referring to me sometimes or saying, oh, I was inspired by Wine Spice Girl. And that is nice to know, because obviously when you start, you don't know that it will turn out like that. And it was also not my goal necessarily. I just wanted to express myself. But if it inspires other people, that's beautiful, because then, your goal is really accomplished, right?
when you said you wanted to express yourself, what did you have in mind back then when you started?
Back then, it was just more like a cry out for, I just wanted to express why I'm the way I was. So not copying the way everyone was describing their wines, maybe a little bit, in a dull way, very technical, very practical. The information was very linear. So yeah, I got a bit bored and I was like, I think I'm, well, kind of fun, or like I like to laugh, I like to make jokes. So I just tried to express it the way I would do it. So not necessarily thinking that it had to be any different than what people were doing, but just making it my own, doing it my way. Just adding my own spice, salt, just sprinkling it with my seasoning, let's say.
Very well seasoned. You did it very well. You did it very well. When you started, what was the hardest part to go through? Because you have that idea at the beginning, you say, okay, let's go. Because it's not the first time that you start something. You've been an entrepreneur, you started a restaurant with your parents, different other things in your life. So you know a bit about the unknown. But in this particular case where you are front and center, showing up a part of your life or what you want to express as part of your life. What was hard? What was difficult, but that you did not expect in that experience?
Ooh, I think it was a little bit the other way around, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
So what happened was that I had this idea for quite a while, but I was just very self-conscious. So I was like, if I want to do this idea, I will have to put myself out there, which will then cause people to have an opinion about me, which will have people judge me for sure, because I will, what you said, right? It revolves around my persona, and I have to get in front of the crowd and take the first step to, sort of start a revolution or do things differently. Mm-hmm. And you know that person will always be judged and be looked at, and people might not like you. Mm-hmm. So this idea, it took a while in my head to get over that. Like I was very self-conscious that if I would do this, that people would have an opinion about me. So I really had to talk to myself and be like, okay, people are going to have an opinion about you. How are you going to deal with that? And then I was like, let me think. Maybe I should just not give a shit about that. Okay, next question. So I really had to prepare to all the scenarios, yes. And just mentally already prepare for the wave of criticism or whatever. And it took a while for me to get used to that idea. And then I thought, okay, now I'm ready to just do it, because now I'm mentally prepared for what might come. And then it was the other way around, because I prepared myself and I expected so much criticism or maybe judgment. And in the end, it wasn't really there. Or at least the people who really criticize or judge me or have an opinion, they are just keeping their opinion either for themselves or just sharing it with like-minded negative people, but they didn't really come to me like, you are this or you are that. So I was just maybe, a little bit, I was a bit scared, but then in the end it was really quite okay.
When you get to the point where you say, okay, let's do this.
Yeah.
How confident were you still at that moment? Because, you know, there's a jump. Okay, you can prepare as much mentally as you can before. And it's like, okay, they may say this, they may say that, they may say, okay, I'm like this, even though that's just, as you say, the persona.
Yeah.
But then the moment you jump and you send the first post.
That was very, very exciting.
And how did you feel? And did you think, I don't care about the reactions, or you were just like looking, okay, what are they saying now?
No, I was looking. I remember it was very, I was a bit scared, but I had prepared everything. I couldn't prepare more. Like if I would prepare more, it would be like, okay, now I just have to do it. So I remember I was sitting on the couch and I had prepared the first 12 posts that I would do. And I was just posting them all at once because I wanted already to have like a little bit of a feed if people would come on my page. So I would do it all at once. And I was just sitting there on the couch and I had already prepared all the captions, everything. So I was just posting. And then I was just sitting there and I was like, oh, it's exciting. But yeah, it was very exciting. But then the reactions started coming in. People were very positive. People really liked it. People started following. And I started just to go in conversation, because my idea was from the beginning that I really wanted to build a community, not just be like a page, but really build a community of like-minded people. So I started to react on comments. I send new followers a private message like, hey, thank you for following. Welcome to this community. My idea is to make wine more inclusive. Thank you for hopping on board. Like really starting the conversation. So it went quite natural after this first moment of the jump. I felt quite comfortable and I saw that people were being positive. So it was actually very nice. Yeah.
And you expected the comments to come more from women or from men?
I don't think I had any expectations in the beginning. And I think from the beginning, it's been quite 50-50. So I was either inspiring women to just be more bold and more out there and to express themselves more, or of course a lot of men really liked the spicy side of the Wine Spice Girl photos. But also a lot of conversation really about wine, because in the end that's what it's about. It is about the wine. It's just the package that I try to change it, but the shared passion that we're all talking about in the comments or in the stories is really about the wine.
And as of today, you think that the objective you had at the beginning to make a change in the way people discuss about wine, you think you got there 10%, 15, 20, 30, 50? Do you have an idea how the conversation has evolved? Actually, even through your conversation you have with the people that are following you, have they changed from the beginning till now?
Yeah, I definitely see a big change, but I don't think it's only my accomplishment. It's just in general, because in general, the whole wine world is shifting. It's getting much younger. Much more people are talking about wine. The ages, they are every time the people are younger every time, and now also with the coming like of TikTok, a lot of people are talking about wine on TikTok, reaching a younger audience. So there has been a shift in the last 3 years for sure, and I've contributed to that, but I don't think it's not all my accomplishment, obviously. So it's very difficult to measure it in percentages or but I do think that what I've been doing has definitely contributed and helped a lot of people to change maybe a little bit the conversation and the style.
Because you're reaching out more and more people, so I guess the conversation that you've been having with them also has changed and evolved through time.
Definitely.
How much of the persona? Because you were, I heard in an interview that you gave that, you know, you created a persona, very extroverted, very open, and putting the spice into the world of wine.
Yeah.
How much of that persona is, I'm not going to say true, because from what I understood, whatever side of you, it is it is who you are. Do you think it's something that you are actively still working on and refining the way you want to project yourself to your audience, or you find the way of, okay, this is my Wine Spice Girl extrovert persona. I've nailed it down. I was able to express exactly how I feel about it and who I am on that aspect. Were you able to get to that point?
I think it's more like an evolution of the character. So I think what happened is in the beginning I just wanted to talk about wine, and I would have preferred to just be able to do it as myself, whoever that may be, right? Because we're everything and nothing at the same time. But I knew that I had to get the attention. So I built this character, like a caricature. I don't know the word. This,
Caricature,
yeah, you
yes.
know, like, yeah. So I made everything a little bit bigger. Like, she's very bold and she's more outgoing, but in the end, it's me. But yeah, like on steroids, something like that. So what happened, I think, in time is that it's not necessary anymore to be that bold, to be that exaggerated, because, you know, the people, they get it now. They're like, okay, we get it. So what I've seen in the last 3 years, that this character is coming more and more towards myself. So lately, she's not as exaggerated anymore, because it's just not necessary anymore to get the attention in that way, because people are already, they're already on board, they know. And now I'm toning it down a little bit, not on purpose, but it just grows naturally more towards myself. So now when I go on my stories, I'm speaking basically the way I'm speaking with you now, which is much more me than maybe in the beginning, where everything I did, I did it a little bit more like a show, you know. So now it's coming more together. So it's integrating more with who I am, which also makes it a bit easier for me to just be a little bit more myself in some way.
So how do you see the evolution in the coming years?
Yeah, that's a good question, huh? I think in the coming years, what I would like to do with One Spice Girl is to be able to take the attention a little bit off of myself, and to make it more like a community, more like a brand instead of a personal brand, because the idea is to make wine more approachable, more inclusive. So maybe to get some other people on board that share the same idea, same philosophy, and be able to spread the word from different corners, different angles, and different people. Yeah, so not only having this spotlight on me, but more on the message.
Why you want to put that pressure a bit out? Because it's hard to deal with on a daily basis, or
it's not hard, but as I think we spoke about before, also I do get bored at times of doing the same things. So I'm more the person who starts something. I start a business, I put in my input, and then slowly I'd like to release, like giving birth to a baby. And when the baby is an adult, the baby can just do whatever they want, and I will just go do something else maybe. So I have more interest than only wine, and I would love to be able to have this creation sort of as a project on its own, and be able to then maybe start something new, or have more time to dedicate to other things, while this can still grow and be something on its own, but not necessarily having to be me doing everything, being present everywhere, going to all the events, traveling to all the wineries all the time, and being this front. This person in the spotlight. So
yeah.
this is my long-term vision.
Yeah. There's another site and another page, which is called India Dunisi, about your travels.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that you segmented basically both aspects of one is, you know, very, very focused wine part, etc., and the travel part.
Yeah.
Why have you done this segmentation? Why did you decide to go, okay, I want to express myself differently?
So the page, the India Dunisi page, is actually was just my personal page that I had already for 10 years or 15 years. I don't even remember when Instagram started. So I was doing that before I thought of starting Wine Spice Girl. So it was actually my own page, which then grew because I was starting to tell a lot about my travels. But then when I really had the idea for Wine Spice Bar, I really thought this is something completely different. And it's more like a business than it is my own journal or my own stories. I really wanted to make a distinction between the two, because one is really more personal and the other one is more like a business, which then also became like a very personal business, what we spoke about before. But the idea is that it's something on its own. It's not really always connected to who I am.
So you have that personal page and you have that, that professional page. So you've been into the social media for a long time.
Yeah.
For someone that wants to go into it, for mm-hmm. a young lady that wants to go into it, what kind of advice would you give her? Because you went through, and I'm going to say you went through the the splashy way. You know, you came out with, as you were saying, it had to be bold, it had to be strong, the message had to be loud and everything in terms of people, you know, to drive their attention.
Yeah.
If there would be some advices that you would give to a young lady, whether it's in the world of wine or other aspect, food, whatever it is, that wants to go and emulate what you've done, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that want to be like you, what would you tell her?
So what I think is the most important thing that I always try to tell to everyone, whatever it is that you're trying to be, sell, market, it can be like just your persona, it can be a brand, it can be a product, I think the most important part of everything is authenticity. So whatever you want to do, let it come from the heart, and don't just think, I want to be like her or like him or like, and then try to do it the way someone else did it. Try to find what it is that you really enjoy, you really like, and try to find your own voice in it, because that's always the most interesting for people to listen to, because it is already very difficult to stand out. And usually we think that we have to be like someone else in order to be good enough, be interesting enough, to stand out. But what we actually want on social media is to see who you are, because your voice is interesting enough, and there's nobody like you. So let it just come from a place inside of you. And then, of course, there's these more practical tips, like be consistent. You cannot just pop on there one day and then never show up again. You have to be consistent on social media because we expect to see you. That's also the difficult part about it, that you have to keep showing up, even if you don't feel like it, but that's another topic. So be consistent. Have high quality content. So don't think it's just enough to make very mediocre photos with your iPhone in the dark, because people will not stop scrolling because there's already so much on there. So try to make some quality content, try to have your own voice, be consistent. And then if you can niche it down a little bit, that always works. So if you want to start a wine blog, maybe don't start a blog about wine in general, but start a blog about Lebanese wines or Balinese wines or tropical wines or wine for women that love to do surfing, I don't know, but you know, yoga. I wanted to say yoga, and I know someone who does wine and yoga. So there
Wendy
is,
Norby.
I saw you interviewed also someone, right?
Wendy.
So there's
Wendy,
there's
doing this,
there's more people who do stuff like that. They combine two things, because just in general, it's very difficult to get your message out. That's what I did also. Mm. It was wine, but it was wine on a spicy way, or wine in a, so you need to niche it down, but then it's very important to just be as authentic as possible. Tell your story, really. Share your story, because it's always very interesting to hear your story.
As another piece of advice, what would you have done differently?
What I would have done differently is a little bit what we were talking about before, that I would love to maybe get the attention a little bit off myself now. Mm-hmm. If I could start over, I would have started from the beginning to market it more like a general brand instead of a personal brand.
Do you think it would have worked?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because I think the message is strong enough. And of course, I would have been a part of it, but maybe I could have done it with more people, maybe at the same time, showing different faces, but having the same message. Because, like, you know, the Spice Girls were also five flavors.
Yes.
I could have done it like that, adding more flavors, more people to make it even bigger and to have a bigger impact. But that's all looking back. Like, you can't
Yeah,
change
no,
the
it's true.
past,
Yeah,
right?
it
Yeah,
is.
yeah. But yeah, I if someone would want to do something like this, yeah, maybe think ahead more, because I live day by day and I was just like, oh, I'm just gonna do this. But I never really planned for the future. I never really thought, what if this would become something bigger? What if this would really hit off? Where would it go? What would I like to be in 5 years? I didn't look ahead at all. I was just, ooh, let's just have fun. And yeah, maybe think a little bit more into the future.
Yeah.
But it's another great piece of advice, I think.
Now that you've grown, the planning part is more and more part, you know, it's there, I suppose.
Yeah, more.
How do you deal with that? Because you were saying, I like to create stuff, and usually the creation at the beginning is a bit chaotic. There's a lot of things happening at the same time. You have to
Yeah.
do many things at the same time yourself. And but once you start to grow, things start to be a bit more structured.
Yeah.
And they become more, I'm not going to say as a routine, but they become more process oriented and structured and need to be planned a bit more ahead. Do you enjoy that part?
Not necessarily, because I'm really not really a planner. So I have to be honest that a lot of things are really not that planned. I still go very day by day. Of course, I know sometimes, like, oh, then I'm going to do this or that, because it's just appointments maybe that are fixed. But I really go still very with the flow. So I'm not very structured. That's not an It's not a strong point that I have, to be structured or a good planner. So sometimes I need help with that. And for example, my mother helps me a lot with that part of the business, which is amazing. Yeah,
How
because
do you
I'm a
keep
bit chaotic.
which is nice at the end of the day, you're
Yeah.
when you are a creator.
Yeah.
There is that aspect which is
Yeah.
not really planned out, because the
No,
ideas
no.
and the thoughts are coming whenever they're coming, basically.
That's true. That's true. I can be sleeping and then I just have a dream and I'm like, oh, I want to make this picture or I want to make this type of video. And then I just have to, yeah, to write it down. And then I sleep. And then the next day I'm like, oh, I had this dream. Oh, I'm going to try this out. So it really goes like that sometimes. It's very, very intuitive. Very, yeah, it's just whatever comes in. It comes in through here and then it comes out through the hands.
A pure creative work. Were you expecting that it was going to be as creative as that?
Yeah, I think so, because I've always been like that. It's just I'm very intuitive and I just get inspirations and then I just have to make them happen. So yeah, I'm used to working like that. I don't think I could work any other way.
What is also very interesting when you start a new venture. There's always a lot of ups and downs. Always, because how do you keep yourself motivated? Because people in the world, wine in general is not an easy industry. It's not an easy business.
No.
Being on social media is not easy, whatever people may
No.
think. How do you keep that motivation going? How do you just keep on going and say, because there must have been time where you said, okay, this is, well, no, I don't want that
Well,
anymore.
I take breaks. That's It took me a long time to take my first break. I think that was after 1.5 years that I really didn't have taken not even one day off. But then I started to take breaks and it started maybe with small breaks. And now I'm just taking easily like 2 to 3 months a year that I'm just on a break. And in the beginning, it was like, yeah, but people are going to think, where is she? I have to keep posting, I have to keep performing, there's this pressure. But now I just notice that, you know, life goes on. People are not the whole day thinking, oh, why didn't she post? Like, you know, you
Yeah.
don't need to always be there as long as what you put out there is still valuable and it still has your voice. when you come back after a break, people are just happy to see what you put out. So I think the taking breaks is just very, very normal, very good for your health. And that keeps you motivated, because when you come back, you have all this new inspiration and you just, yeah, you're back. That's it. And then when you need a break, you take another break. That's what I'm doing now.
Very good choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
great choice for the balance, yeah. Because it is in the end, if you cannot sustain whatever, you know, whatever pace there is,
it can be much.
It is very complicated. We're getting close to the end of the conversation, but there's a couple of questions that I had before that. So there's a lot of branding that you do, and you're helping brands to actually develop their marketing plan and thinking about their presence digitally, etc. Do you have is there a specific profile of the people approaching you in terms of, please help us with your expertise and your knowledge and your insight into the industry? Would you say they would be more younger type of wineries, older type of wineries? What is the profile of the people that are actually connecting with you?
I think what it is most of the time is just people that are inspired by doing things a little bit differently. So you're not going to find the very traditional people reaching out to me, because obviously there's not a match. If people are too traditional, they probably see my work and they are a little bit shocked by it, or they think it's a little bit much, or a little bit, I don't know, too naked or whatever, you know? So there's always, these are not the people. So the people that are looking at my work and they're like, oh, I like this. Oh, it's edgy. So it's people who want to be creative, edgy, younger, would you say? Of course, age really matters. So, but there's also some older generations that really want to have a new voice, and they just want to attract a younger audience. So they will approach me for help because they don't know how to do it. So it's not only age. I think it's just here. It's mind. It's open-minded people who are creative and who don't take themselves so super seriously, because that's where it starts, right? If you're like, oh, we're a super, super serious wine brand and we have these super serious traditional wines that, you know, like, they're not going to throw their wine in the air or, I don't know, do a little bit funkier things. So those are not the people. But there's a lot of people who are just, who want to make fun, who like creative things, who like to be edgy. And those are the people that I really love to help, because then, yeah, we can think of a lot of beautiful ideas to get their message out. But, and then it's always about what I said before, about being authentic. So I just help them to redefine their own voice, their own story. I'm not telling them what to do, like you have to say this or that. We're just looking for what is their message and how can it be told in a way that attracts the attention, basically.
Before going to the PV questionnaire, one last question. So this is your baby, Wine Spice Girl, and all the work around it is your baby.
Yeah.
One day, probably you'll do something different, like an evolution or something different. What kind of, if we can say that, what kind of legacy do you want to leave with all this work? What is it that you want to, okay, I've done this, I'm so proud of that, this is what I was able to achieve. What would that be?
Well, if we're speaking strictly about my voice in the wine world, it would just be, for me, it would be just enough if people would have a little bit lightened up about wine. If there would be a little bit more humor, I would already be completely happy, because that was really my biggest frustration, that there was no fun and no dancing and no singing and no just lightness, you know, that it was also very, very serious. So if the serious edge is off of it and everything is a bit lighter, then I have accomplished everything that I wanted.
Okay. And outside of wine?
Outside of wine, I still don't know what the next project is going to be, but for sure it's going to be something, I think, more down the spiritual path, more about, I don't know, maybe personal development, maybe more like motivational speaking or something more along those lines.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So the people questionnaire.
Okay.
It's the first thing that comes to your mind. And as I said, there's no censoring, no beeping, nothing. What is your favorite word?
Love.
What's your least favorite word?
Normal.
What's your favorite virtue?
Courage.
What's your favorite quality in a man?
Generosity.
What's your favorite quality in a woman?
Confidence.
What wine would you use to describe yourself?
I would say I'm a volcanic wine. So I, yeah, I come from a volcanic territory, like Etna Rosso. Yeah.
Calm until it erupts, and then there's an eruption.
Yeah, like there's a lot of depth. There's a lot of saltiness and spicy minerality from the soil, and then there is an explosive part to it.
What aroma or smell do you love?
Lavender.
All right. What's your favorite curse word?
Fuck, probably.
Any language, I was going to say. So if there's
okay,
any other.
Yeah. No, I think fuck is a nice word. It can be used also in Dutch. So.
Yeah. What sound or noise do you love?
Music.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Ooh. Any loud sounds. I don't like loud sounds. Like anything, like motorbikes now here on the street, or like these, just the engines of planes. I hate that.
Yeah. What plant or animal would you like to be reincarnated in?
A bird?
Any specific?
Yeah, this small, is it a swallow?
Okay.
Yeah.
And last question, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You survived. You survived life on earth. Good job. Welcome back. Welcome back.
India Donisi, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. It was really a pleasure. Very nice.